Thank the assembly for your prayers for our travels and ministry in the global proclamation of the gospel. I am entering the 45th year of my ministry, and it is amazing to see how the Lord is leading me and showing me and opening up new frontiers of missions and ministry which I have never envisioned before in my life. The recent trips to Moldova and Montenegro and also to Australia have been very encouraging and also very challenging and revolutionizing my own outlook about many things. And I have been sharing with many of you that in recent trips, the impression I am getting is that the Lord is not sending me just to minister to others. Of course, that is the reason they invite me, but the Lord is convincing me that the Lord is sending us to other places to bless us more, to open our eyes, to fortify our soul, to enlarge the borders of our vision and ministry, and to motivate and encourage and teach and train God's people in different places to see things in the light of the scripture, with more focus on what is important to the Lord. Now, for example, like in Moldova, Montenegro, and recently in Australia, you know, the places and the ministries I was involved in were all first-generation Christians. Most of the time, my ministry is with the established assemblies. Of course, they also reach out to the lost world, and the opportunity to preach the gospel and to encourage the people of God, more time in teaching, training and equipping, meeting with the elders and giving them good encouragement from the word of God. All these things are there. But the last 3-4 ministries and trips were we were able to see the power of the gospel and the power of the church and the power of the blood of Christ and how the Lord is blessing the work of the church in many parts of the world. Now, one thing we all know that, generally speaking, the assemblies are in decline in most parts of the world, especially in the Western world. We know what is happening in our own city, some of the very pathetic and unpleasant things that have happened. But in the midst of such, very discouraging news, it is very refreshing to see when the Lord is using a remnant of his people to accomplish great and wonderful things for the Lord. In Montenegro, there is only one really established assembly like our assembly. And there is a small gathering in another city and 3 Bible study groups like 10 and 12 and 14 transitioning into assemblies. All people from the streets, first generation Christians. Many of them have not accepted the Lord, but they are attending the meetings and they are seekers and they want to know what is the gospel, how can they have a transformational change in their life. So it is very challenging and it is a hard work for the servants of God and the people of God that are serving the Lord. But it is surprising to see that, many people have accepted the Lord. And that is the story in Moldova, in Montenegro. Australia is a place like, part of kind of the Western world where there were many assemblies, but generally speaking, assemblies have become very weak. But the particular assembly where we were in 3 places, but the highlight of the trip was the annual 10th anniversary Thanksgiving and celebration of an assembly, which they started 10 years ago. And by their community outreach with focused prayer and vision and committed and visionary leadership and passion for souls, mobilizing prayer every day and through wonderful strategies and depending upon the Lord, 150 in fellowship. And the vast majority are from known Christian, known assembly backgrounds. All those who have come to know the Lord through the consistent, everyday, intensive evangelism, personal evangelism or intentional evangelism. Not event evangelism. Event evangelism is, you know, we conduct an event and through that people come to know the Lord. But the results are usually minimal. But the way it is working all around the world is, God is using event evangelism, but in more explosive evangelism, explosion is happening through everyday intentional evangelism, personal evangelism, and ongoing community outreach. Some of you may remember 3 years ago, Brother John Fleming from Australia was here. And I'm talking about their assembly as a family and a group of believers. They are committed day and night to community outreach. And I have never seen anything like this in my lifetime in the Western world, that within 10 years, 150 people, most of them from the streets, from known assembly background, known Christian background, who have come to know the Lord and who accepted the Lord and who are in assembly fellowship. We were there 10 years ago at the beginning of that assembly work, and it was a special joy to see the great and wonderful work. So if the Lord can do it there, the Lord can do it here also. But we may have to think about many things. Maybe we may want to make appropriate changes without any biblical compromise on many things. So the Lord is moving. The Spirit of God is working. And the gospel is on the move, and wherever people are committed to the Lord and to the gospel and to the Lordship of Christ and to missions and evangelism and to the word of God, the Lord is doing great and wonderful things. And I hope and pray that these missional stories may be a great encouragement, not only for our VBS, but through our ongoing meetings and ministries and prayer. And that the Lord may enlarge the borders of our ministry and show us more ways through which we can win a lost world to Christ. Now, 3 months ago, I shared, I started like a series on Israel, a miracle nation. But because of my travel and all these things, you know, I'm overwhelmed by mission and evangelism and those things. So, Brother Johnson has asked me to take 2 weeks of ministry in July, where I will be able to complete the series on Israel. But today, for our encouragement and meditation, shall we turn to the book of missions in the New Testament, that is the book of Acts. Almost 50 years ago, when I personally read and studied the book of Acts, I heard the call of the Lord to serve him. So it is the message of the book of Acts that prompted me. I heard the call of God by reading and studying this book. So this is a very precious book to me personally. This is the first book of missions. This is the first church history written. It is about the accomplishments of God's servants, the apostles, by the empowering strength of the Holy Spirit, by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, how the apostles were able to accomplish great things. Now, the Acts of the Apostles, the word Acts, the Greek word praxis, usually is used in the Greek literature for accomplishments of great men. So, Acts in the Greek sense means accomplishments, not just activities as such, you know. So it is not just activities, it is accomplishments energized by the Holy Spirit in the will, plan, and purpose of God through the disciples, through the apostles, and through the believers in the first century church. Now, when we come to chapter 11, so shall we turn to Acts chapter 11, beginning in verse 19. Through 26. Here we have the description of the planting of the first Gentile church. The planting of the first Gentile church. And then we read more about the first Gentile church, that is the church at Antioch, the global mission, the start of the mission, and the missionary journeys of Paul, everything beginning in Acts chapter 13. But Acts 11, beginning in verse 19, prepares the way for the global missions, the birth of the global mission. So we'll go verse by verse, and I want to highlight some very important practical truths related to mission and evangelism, which the Lord has deeply impressed upon my heart. Chapter 11, book of Acts, verse 19. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. Now, these Jewish believers, Jewish Christians, who were scattered from Jerusalem and the surrounding area because of the persecution that followed Stephen's death, they went to Phoenicia, to Cyprus, and to Syria, that is to Antioch, and they preached the gospel. But the Holy Spirit records that they preached only to the Jewish people. You know, because their thinking was very Jewish, pride and prejudice, you know. And in every generation, this is a hindrance to the work of the gospel. That is to cross cultural barriers, to cross language barriers, to reach out to others who are different from ourselves. This is a challenge. This is a challenge for us. This is a challenge for the Indian assemblies. This is a challenge for the American assemblies. This is a big challenge. So they themselves had this challenge. So when the believers from Jerusalem, when they were scattered, the Lord scattered them, sent them to different places. Their only interest was to reach out to their own people. There is nothing essentially wrong. Same language, same culture, so they might have thought they will be able to relate to them in a better way. But that way, that is not God's plan always. That usually comes from our limited thinking, our limited vision. And many a times we do not go beyond in our thinking to see that the Lord is able to break all those barriers, and the Lord is building His church. And the Lord is building a global mission. That means the gospel has to reach to Gentiles also. And it has to reach to Gentiles by the Jewish believers. We know that Jonah, how he was reluctant to go to Nineveh because he didn't want Gentiles to be saved. He was an exclusive prophet, very narrow-minded thinking, very rigid in his theology. And he couldn't envision and imagine that our God, you know, will He ever love Gentiles? And if they are saved and I have to mingle with them and minister to them, Peter also had the same thinking. And many of the Jewish believers in the first century, they tried to build a monocultural church. And they never wanted it to be a multicultural church. These are human weaknesses, these are human limitations, these are human thinking. But according to Acts chapter 1:8, the gospel has to reach to the uttermost part of the earth. And God miraculously accomplished it when we come to Acts chapter 28, the last chapter in the book of Acts. The gospel has reached the imperial capital of Rome in an amazing way. You know, in spite of exclusivism, rigidity, pride and prejudice, human thinking, monocultural thinking, all those things, the Spirit of God accomplished His purpose through the church. And the Lord is able to do that at any time, anywhere, and to any group of believers. This is an amazing truth. And that is what the Holy Spirit wants us to see. That is why it is mentioned, they were scattered, they went to different places up to Antioch. Antioch was the third largest cities, second to Rome and Alexandria. Rome, Alexandria, and Antioch. These were the three major cities during the biblical times. So those who were scattered, these faithful believers from Jerusalem, Judea, they reached the Antioch, but they only shared the gospel with the Jews. See, you read here, preaching the word to no one, but to no one except to Jews alone. That is how the literal text reads, like New American Standard has translated it like that. That is, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. I'm reading from NKJV, New American Standard. They preach the gospel to no one except to Jews alone. And that was their thinking. Then what happened? But some of them, some of them got a different vision. The Lord moved in their midst. Not all of them, but some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, that is to the Greeks, the Gentiles, preaching the Lord Jesus. A sudden change in vision. That was God's plan and that was God's purpose. If you only always speak to Jewish people only, if you are so sectarian and limited in your thinking, you may be very sincere. And if you have this attitude of pride and prejudice always, God's plan will not progress. God's mission, purpose will not be accomplished. So God motivated, the Spirit of God worked in the hearts of some people. Now, we are not talking about evangelists, elders, deacons, or apostles here. We are talking about believers who were scattered. We are not talking about leaders. We are talking about the believers, simple believers who were scattered from Jerusalem after the persecution and the martyrdom, after the martyrdom of Stephen and the persecution that followed. Now look at verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. So they were not big preachers or teachers or leaders, but some of them, when they were willing to cross the cultural barriers for the advancement of the gospel, to reach out to the world for the growth of the gospel and the church, then the Lord really blessed them. And we read that the hand of the Lord was with them. Now, the hand of the Lord, that phrase you will find throughout the Old Testament and some places in the New Testament, it stands for God's power, God's guidance, and God's blessing, and about divine resource. So God's special blessing was upon this group of people as they were passionate and committed to take the gospel with the tolerance and with the openness to others. They were willing to change. Now in Acts chapter 11, in these verses, we are finding two changes happening, and in the following chapters. So far, the center of missions and ministry, it was Jerusalem. And the leader was Peter. And the elite group of Jewish apostles and leaders, and Jerusalem and Judea was the major center up to now. But now the situation is changing. A change in place and a change in personnel. Why did I say a change in personnel? From chapter 3, a new leader is coming. The apostle to the Gentiles, Saul of Tarsus. Chapters 1 to 12, the hero is Peter and the Jewish believers, the church at Jerusalem. But beginning in chapter 11, the transition is happening. And when we come to chapter 13, it is the apostle to the Gentiles, that is Saul of Tarsus, Paul, and then Gentile churches and believers. Change in personal, change in place. No more Caesarea, no more Jerusalem. It is going to be Antioch, the center of global missions. It was very difficult for Jewish people to accept that. Even though Peter was the trailblazer to start the ministry among Gentiles in Acts chapter 10, when we come to chapter 11, 12, and then to 13, Peter's role is almost over and Apostle Paul takes over. I'm finding another very important practical truth here. Change in personal, change in place. God changes things so that He can accomplish His plan and purpose. And we must be open to that change. Change is transformational change. And change is not always compromise. Some people are very afraid. That is the problem with most of the assemblies in the world. You know, they are stuck and they will not change because they are afraid of change. And when we are afraid of change, God is not able to move and work. And that was the problem here. But when they were willing to change of place and personal, and that brought a rapid growth in the progress of the gospel. Now, some people take changes too far and make it a compromise. You know, they want to change everything. There is no norm. But in the Bible, when God changes, when God asks us to change, that is always transformational changes in accordance with His word and for His glory. And we must be open to such changes. So that is a wonderful lesson here. And then the hand of the Lord was with them, blessing them, leading them, and helping them. It all started with some of them. And I hope and pray that we, each one of us, may belong to that some of them. Not all of them. Many of them were scattered. But some of them only ministered to the Jewish people. But some of them had a different idea, a different vision, and the hand of the Lord was upon them, their ministry, as they shared the gospel with others, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. A very important word here, turned. That is almost like a technical term in the book of Acts. This particular word, epistropho, occurs more than 10 times, the same word, and that same word is Luke's technical expression for Christian conversion, turning. A combination of repentance and faith happening in the life of people, and they are genuinely converted. And it is to that experience that word calls attention to. So that's a technical word in the vocabulary of Dr. Luke, that more than 12 times he uses that word. They turned. That means they believed, they accepted the Lord, they confessed, and there was repentance, there was genuine faith, resulting in genuine conversion. Another very important truth in the following verses, verse 22. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. See, look at how the Lord is moving. People were scattered. They started preaching the gospel, many of them only to their own people, Jewish people. But some of them were burdened about the Gentiles, and they started sharing the gospel. And we read many of them were saved, converted, turned to the Lord, and the hand of the Lord was upon those projects. And there was a change in personnel, there was a change in place. God is moving, God is working. And then what happened? the news of these things, these wonderful things, these great things happening in and around Antioch. The news reached the church at Jerusalem. And what did they do? They were not for a competition. They wanted to partner in this work. And they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. They sent a representative from their church. We do not know whether anyone else went with him, whether it was a delegation, but Barnabas was sent to go and to help in the work and to see what is really happening. The Jerusalem church, a church predominantly Jewish, and they might have their own pride and prejudice, but at this stage, they became very magnanimous, very gracious. They opened their hearts, their minds, their hands, and they rejoiced in what the Lord is doing. And they send a son of encouragement, their son of exhortation. Barnabas is known as the son of encouragement because this new work, this new ministry, this new mission wanted encouragement. So they send the right person. And what did he do? Verse 23, when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them. That is what? What is the mission and ministry of Barnabas? Encouragement, exhortation, son of exhortation. And the Jerusalem church very prayerfully, carefully selected this person. Not a great leader at that time, not a great theologian or an evangelist or a preacher, but the son of encouragement, because the Jerusalem church knew that the new mission needs a lot of encouragement. And Barnabas came, they encouraged them to stand with purpose of heart, they should continue with the Lord. It's interesting that they did not send a supervisor, a manager, or a critic, you know, or go and find all the faults with that work, because they are not a big church like we are. We are the original church. We are the elite group. So you go and find what are their problems and go and fix it. No, you go there to encourage. It is to show our partnership with them in the work of the Lord. Verse 23, when he came and he saw the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of God they should continue with the Lord. Did you see that? He did not say, continue with your affiliation with Jerusalem, okay? This independent work is okay, but continue with Jerusalem. No, you continue with the Lord. Look at that phrase, continue with the Lord. Another continue, come with me to chapter 13 and verse 43. Chapter 13, verse 43. This is again Paul and Barnabas. The last part, verse 43. Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Continue in the Lord. Continue in the grace of God. Chapter 14, one more continue. Chapter 14, verse 22. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith. Continue in the Lord, continue in the grace of God, continue in the faith. Brothers and sisters, that is the summary of Christian life. Continue in the Lord, continue in the grace of God, continue in the faith. in the word of God. That is our calling. And the Lord has called us. And only when we continue in this area, then only evangelism and mission is possible. Then only outreach is possible. That is why, as the Lord is highlighting these missional principles, He is showing us some foundational truths. And Barnabas was sent, and he told them, he was so happy to see the grace of God working in their midst. And he told them, continue in the Lord, be faithful to the Lord. He is the one who saved you. He is the one who called you. Continue in the Lord. Continue in the grace of God. And continue in the faith of the Lord. Another amazing truth here in the following verse. Verse 24, for he was a good man, that is Barnabas, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. See, contrary to our thinking, in the book of Acts, there is more than 12 reporting of church growth. You know, usually we are not very fond of numbers. The reason is there are so many false statistics always floating around. So many of us or assemblies like us, we are not for the number game. I understand. I'm not for it. You know, but we must also know that God is not against numbers, because throughout the book of Acts, more than 12 times, the Holy Spirit, through Dr. Luke, highlights numbers. See, in this short passage, the two times church growth report is given. Verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. And in verse 24, last part, and great many people were added to the Lord. So when God adds numbers, let us welcome it. And our prayer should be not through gimmicks, not through statistics game, not for fundraising, but praying that the Lord may add people. The Lord adding people to Himself, and then bringing them to His church. So the Lord is not against numbers. And I'm emphasizing it because I grew up hearing this in many, many places that, you know, numbers are not important. God is against numbers. I have read that in books. That cannot be sustained by the word of God. That's a clever human thinking and a human logic, human piety, human religion, human theology. The book of Acts is all about numbers. I can prove it. You can prove it. Just read. So many places. But the difference is, it is not man adding. It is not man counting. It is the Spirit of God working and saving souls and adding people to the church. And there was somebody counting it and somebody noting it. And that is the reason Dr. Luke was able to report that to us. Verse 25, then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. Why is that? Because Barnabas was humble enough to recognize his limitations. He knew that he won't be able to mobilize, to teach, to equip, and to train, and to stabilize them. He knew his limitation. And he was wise enough to seek the best man who can do it. Humble enough to know his limitation. Wise enough to know who can do it. And that is a tremendous practical truth. And that is why the Spirit of God mentioned it. Barnabas came. He encouraged them. But he said, I'm going back to Tarsus and I will bring another person. That is Saul of Tarsus. And when he had found him, verse 26, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year, they assembled with the church and taught a great many people for a whole year, systematic teaching and training. By the way, The Holy Spirit is not against a one-year systematic teaching again and training program, as it has been propagated in many places, you know. That is, no. The Holy Spirit is for that. The Holy Spirit is for learning. The Holy Spirit is for systematic teaching. And the whole 1 year, they had systematic learning and teaching session by the help of Apostle Paul, Saul, and also through Barnabas. See, when you see what the Bible teaches and when you are captivated by that, we don't have to pay much attention to what people are trying to propagate as a part of their doctrine. Forget that. That will not help us in any way. You know, so Saul knew that what this assembly needs is new believers. They have to be discipled. So systematic teaching and training and equipping consecutively for 1 year would be a good program. And he brought a capable man who can do that. And it is not simply for some people. The whole assembly and a great many people, probably others also might have joined them. And they had a great session of learning and teaching to becoming mature. That was a training ground for Apostle Paul himself, because this is his first experience. Formation of an assembly, organization of an assembly, equipping of an assembly, discipling of believers, stabilizing of God's people. These are very important in an assembly setup. Barnabas knew it, and Saul was instrumental along with Barnabas, but it was a great training ground for Saul himself. Before I close, one more very important truth here in this passage, in verse 25. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. Now the word seek there is a very important word. It's a very important word that it means. It is a strenuous seeking, taking pain, and going after somebody to really find the real person whom he was looking for. So it was an ardent searching. It was an intense searching. It was a calculated search. It was a planned search. It was a conscious search. It was not just, okay, let me see what I can get or whom I can get. No, it was a focused search, a laborious search, going up and down. You know, the Greek dictionaries explain the meaning of this word. It is hunting for someone, searching with an implication of difficulty to find the right man. The right man for the right job. And that is a very important thing in mission. When people are saved, teaching them, training them, and equipping them. So that is where the Christians were first called, disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. This is how the church at Antioch was planted. And now everything centers around Antioch, and from there the great mission, global mission of the gospel starts, and the missionary journeys of Paul. I just noted down some applicational truths here. Number one, we must be willing to change and cross cultural barriers, develop a new vision and strategy to accomplish God's purpose. Don't be forced out into the work of the Lord. The persecution came and forced them out. Don't wait till we are forced to serve the Lord. The hand of the Lord will be with you as you venture out to serve Him. Be willing to serve and help in a work that God has already begun, like Barnabas did. The main prerequisite for the work of the Lord is not great gifts, but great grace, like Barnabas exhibited. When you sense God's leading, encourage others to partner with you, like Barnabas and Saul. Do not neglect to teach, train, and equip new believers and set the momentum for greater ministries in their life. what is the Lord teaching us here personally and as an assembly about the beginning of the church at Antioch? Great lessons about mission, how God moves, how God works, how God plans, and how God increases the work. So may we be encouraged in all what we do, looking into the word of God, not listening to man's theories and voice, and going with the revelation he has given to us in his holy word. I'm sure the Lord will bless our efforts for his glory. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank you for the precious reminders from this passage in the book of Acts about new missions, about evangelism, about reaching out to others, and how the hand of the Lord was upon them in their endeavor in missions. And we pray that we may be blessed and encouraged by these truths. Many a times we are exposed to human theories and opinions about many things that hinder us and limit us. But we pray that thou may give us listening ears to understand the word of God, to study it, to exegete it, to practice it, to apply it, so that our ministries and mission may be in accordance with the truth of God. What you have accomplished 2,000 plus years ago, thou art still doing it in many parts of the world, and we thank you for what you have done in our midst. And we pray that even in the days to come, that we may continue to trust in you, that the hand of the Lord may be upon ELBC, our families, and upon all of us, that we may be able to win others to Jesus Christ and be shining witnesses of the gospel of Christ. Unto that end, we commend and commit ourselves to you and pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.